Hello and welcome to News 24 on air of a live audio service, Samihlali Ntsabo. An in-depth analysis series by NPO Open Secrets in collaboration with GroundUp has revealed how beneficiaries and their associates at the heart of corrupt deals at the Passenger Railway Agency of South Africa have been living it up while the parastatal is on the verge of collapsing. Two embattled businessmen, Oswald Mashaba and Makensa Mabunda, orchestrated the sale of unusable locomotives for PRASA in a 3.5 billion rand tender that almost led to the collapse of the parastatal. Now, to tell us more about the investigative series, we are joined on the line by Open Secrets' Raisa Petha and Xeqa Nkomo on what they've uncovered so far. Raisa and Xeqa, thank you so much for joining us. A story that is actually frequented a lot in the Zondo Commission, which we'll get into later. But the two of you have been working on the series that unpacks the extent of corruption at PRASA. And you've released two installments so far, which we'll talk about also as well shortly in detail. But could you just give us a brief overview of what this series is about and how long it will be? Raisa, we'll start off with you.
Thanks, Mihlali, and thanks to everybody who's listening. So essentially, the series is about how Sibambo spent the PRASA money. So as you say, Mihlali, you know, in 2012, there was a contract from PRASA for locomotives, long-distance locomotives.
Yeah.
And Sibambo was awarded the tender for this 3.5 billion contract. And this entire process was found to be corrupt by both the High Court in Johannesburg and the Supreme Court of Appeal, which upheld the High Court judgment. And in essence, Sibambo was paid 2.7 billion rand of the 3.5 billion contract.
Mm.
And it delivered, I think, about 13 of the 70 locomotives that it was meant to be delivered. And infamously, these locomotives were the two tall trains. Essentially, they were made by Fosu, a European supplier, and they didn't fit South African railways. And there were no safety regulations that were done on the locomotives. Basically, there were a ton of procedures that were irregular in this whole process. And what our series does is it looks at evidence from two forensic auditors. The first is Jan Dekker, who was commissioned by Sibambo's liquidators to look into how Sibambo spent the PRASA money, the 2.7 billion rand. And the second report is a draft report that was written by forensic auditor Ryan Sachs. And interestingly, this report was commissioned by the Hawks. It is a draft report. It was never completed because the Hawks failed to follow up with Sachs on the report. But despite the fact that it's only a preliminary report, it was used extensively by the Zondo Commission, and Sachs' testimony was heavily relied upon by the Commission to make findings on Sibambo and to determine who the beneficiaries were of this corruption.
Right. And now let's look at the two key figures here, namely being businessmen Oswald Mashaba and Makensa Mabunda. Xeqa, a brief overview. Who exactly are these men? And let's also perhaps look at the experience they have in dealing with locomotives and how they even got to score this lucrative tender.
Hi, Ms. Fali. Hi, everyone. So Mabunda had been running a company called CIA Group Company. They had a history of bidding on PRASA, but they hadn't had a history that related to securing any type of locomotives. They hadn't manufactured any type of locomotives. In fact, I don't think we have any evidence of them having had expertise in the contract that they ended up winning in Sibambo. And as for Mashaba, Mashaba was the director of the Sibambo Rail Leasing. And yeah, he's also, from what I can gather from my research, he hadn't had any type of history with locomotives. Hence, Sibambo was a fund company, and they had outsourced the locomotive to the first Fleur Espanol, which is the European company that ended up providing the 13 locomotives that ended up in South Africa and ended up being too big. And sorry, Michali, can you just send me back to the rest of your question?
Right, and how they actually got to score the tender.
How did they end up scoring the tender?
Yes.
So, according to the Johannesburg High Court papers and the SDA judgments, the tender process was just riddled with irregularities. And in fact, I just found it so jarring that there were no checks and balances that PRASA had employed in just double checking when Sri Fumble was actually established, because Forsler had financed the startup cost for Sri Fumble, right, a year prior to the Sri Fumble scoring the PRASA contract. So the company hadn't even been in existence prior to this tendering process. And I'm guessing they had some sort of deals in between, or they had someone inside PRASA that informed them that this contract was coming up, hence the company had been established. So they had no history of any outsourcing. So even with the first floor, even with Forsler, I just found it odd that Forsler had a tender with PRASA about a year before. So in 2012, they had air conditioning units that PRASA had bought from Forsler, and those air conditioning units had significant irregularities. But then a year after Forsler opened its headquarters in 2013 in South Africa and starts the South African Holdings Company,
right,
they win this PRASA contract despite having had significant irregularities with the previous contract that they had with PRASA.
Right, 100%. Raisa, when we start following the money and we look at some of the payments that Forsler had made, so your guys' investigative piece basically details how a total of 10 payments was made by Forsler to companies linked to Mabunda between 2011 and 2015, totaling almost 89 million rand. Do we know what these payments were for?
It's very interesting, and it seems quite scandalous, really. So essentially, a few years ago, News 24 did an article kind of talking about how the South African Reserve Bank has done a report. This report, the Reserve Bank flagged these payments that Forsler had made to Mabunda as being something noteworthy. You know, like, why were these payments made? And they seem to be quite suspicious. And when News 24 wrote this article, Forsler then replied to say, listen, we confirmed that we made payments of almost 90 million rand to Mabunda.
Yeah.
And these payments were for Mabunda's services as an independent sales representative. Now, it's very interesting to think about this relationship, because Mabunda had a relationship with Forsler. He also seemed to have a relationship with senior officials in PRASA, which he denied at the Zondo Commission, but there was a suspicion that he had a previous relationship with Lucky Montana. And this was brought in a claim by Oswald Mashaba himself. And then Oswald Mashaba also told Popo Molefe, the former PRASA board chairperson, that Mabunda had been essential in setting up the Sri Fumble PRASA deal. My colleague just referred to, you know, a previous history of corrupt contracts at PRASA. So Mabunda was also integral in these contracts, because it was actually his company, the CIA companies, that made a total of almost 1 billion rand in PRASA contracts related to air conditioning supply, etc. So he very clearly had a pre-existing relationship with PRASA and had previously made quite a bit of money. And there's also, in a separate issue, there's the Siangena tender for security systems at PRASA, which we didn't really touch on in this series,
yeah,
but it's also very much related to Mabunda. And so the FOSTU payments are really interesting because even though FOSTU says that they paid Mabunda as an independent sales representative, what's noteworthy is, as you say, you know, the PRASA contract was essentially established in 2012, right? Mm-hmm. That contract was done then. And yet Mabunda wasn't just paid in 2012. He continued to be paid years after this.
After that, yes.
So if he was being paid for setting up the deal, he should have just been paid in 2011 and 2012 and be done with it. But questions arise as to why he continued to receive payments after 2012.
Yes.
And how did these payments escalate to 89 million rand? Like, that is a lot of money for setting up a contract and for setting up a company. And so I think there are still questions to be asked about that. It's also just important to say that Mr. Mabunda went to the Zondo Commission and he denied any wrongdoing. We also spoke to him on the phone and he said, listen, you know, he can't respond to these allegations. You know, if we would like to send our allegations to the Hawks and to the NPA, he would then give a response, but he's not dealing with media queries. So it's just to put it on the record, kind of, that he's denied any wrongdoing. But there's definitely room for further investigation. And we certainly think that the Reserve Bank flies these payments is quite concerning. And there needs to essentially be some follow-up on this.
Now, let's look at the lavish life the beneficiaries of this egregious tender have been living off. Open Secret has been following, you know, some of the relatives and associates of the two businessmen and, you know, exposing how they've been living softly. Perhaps detail to us, what exactly have you guys been finding or what have you guys found? Raisa, let's start off with you.
Firstly, we found that Mr. Mabunda has a wanting to head to her in North of Gauteng that's valued at 30 million rand, and the deco cost for that house were about 5 million. And we found these three bank records that PRASA had paid for the upgrades, the interior decoration upgrades to that house. And then regarding Mr. Mashaba's many millions, he spent over 50 million on property directly after Sufambo received its first payment of 460 million from PRASA. This was around in 2013. And in the same year, this also included the money that he used to buy the luxury AM Lodge in Limpopo, which he was initially the director of, and then directly afterwards he resigned as director, and his two sons, I think it's Limpopo and Jombo, were made directors of the company, and apparently I think a stay per night at this luxury lodge is 38,000 rand to stay in the luxury villas. And to top that off, he also started a family trust that was called Mamoroko Mukelele Trust, that was the Mashaba's family trust, and it was discovered in a forensic report that was commissioned by the Tswana Trust, which are the Sufambo liquidators, in 2021, that 78% of the total income in that family trust was from money that came from Sufambo. And I think lastly, he also had a company which he was the director of together with his brother, Akani Arnold Mashaba. And their numerous payments were made to the company called Bright Wave Technologies, and they amounted to 9.2 million. And yeah, they amounted to 9.2 million. And there was also another company called Nivana Group Company, and that company was paid 19 million by Sifwambo, and that was also owned by one of the directors was Mashaba's brother, Begani. The company that I referred to prior, the Brightwave Technologies, the other director was Akani Arnold, and that's one of Mashaba's sons.
Right. And before I wrap up, Raisa, I just want to circle back to your comment you made earlier about, you know, the progress of investigations. I mean, we know that the Hawks had said that they were 90% done. with looking into, you know, Swifambu. Yet the NPA told Open Secrets that the case was still under investigation. Do we perhaps know at this stage how soon or how far the Hawks are in concluding the investigations?
Thank you, Mihlali. It's really, I mean, we've relied on evidence for the series of articles that is all public record. You know, we've just heard what Klika said about how the family has benefited. And, you know, we must, when we listen to this, we must remember that this is hundreds of millions worth of funds that the Mabundas and the Mashabas benefited from. I think in the case of Oswald Mabunda, it's over 170 million rand in PRASA funds that were diverted to his companies and his family members and his family trust. And I think in the case of Makenza Mabunda, it's like over 120 million that was diverted in PRASA funds, and perhaps also including the funds from FOSU. So it's a lot of money. And the fact that a lot of this has been aired at the Zondo Commission, the DECA report, the Yandeka forensic report was mentioned there. The Ryan Sachs report was mentioned there. In fact, on the Zondo Commission website, you could probably find both of these reports. And people, the public, can read it for themselves. The court record is out there, which years ago, almost 10 years ago, declared these contracts corrupt, the Swifambu contract corrupt, you know. And yet, when the Hawks went to the Zondo Commission, they told the Chief Justice, you know, that the investigation into PRASA is almost 90% complete, right? Almost 90%. And this was years ago, because we must remember that the Zondo report, I think, started coming out around 2021, 2022.
Yeah.
So this was already at least, you know, 2 years ago that this, that they said this. And when we sent questions to the Hawks and the NPA, the NPA said to us, listen, we haven't been able to prosecute the case because the investigation is still ongoing. And the NPA couldn't give us, they said that they couldn't give us details as to the status of the case because it's confidential and the investigation is ongoing. But the question we have is, you know, the Hawks said a couple of years ago already that the case is 90% complete. So why has it taken so many years to complete the other 10% and to finalize everything, especially considering that so much of this information is already in the public domain? You know, in the article that we published yesterday, which was the second article, we included images from Nsovo Mashaba's Instagram account to show essentially how, you know, these families continue to live in luxury. And, you know, the PRASA funds may only account for a portion of how they built their businesses, but it's still significant to note and to kind of see where they would be if these funds were recovered, if they would still be able to live so comfortably while commuters are struggling daily to access affordable and reliable transport. And while some commuters are spending significant amount of funds on private transport that when they could be saving money on public transport, we're in a cost of living crisis, you know? So, yeah, we certainly are very much looking forward to the Hawks and the NPA taking these cases on and finally bringing these people into courtrooms to deliver on justice. And then just to say finally, Mihlali, you know, the third part in our series will be coming out tomorrow. It focuses on the auditors and the banks and the lawyers, and essentially shows how they failed in their professional duties to prevent corruption. And yeah, this will be the final installment, but certainly we'll still be keeping an eye on PRASA and hoping and advocating for justice.
Right. Open Secrets investigators, Raisa Petha and Klipa Nkomo, thank you so much for joining us. And you can find the series on Ground Up. And that's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Mihlali Ntsabo.